Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, sing, how great is our God? Age to age the same. Time is in these hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, sing, how great is our God? Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and our hearts will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and our hearts will sing, how great is our God.
Father, we thank you, Lord. As we come into this house, God, we come into a place, God, that has had to make some decisions, God, and walking by faith. God, that a word can be given, God, to these people to know that they are your people. That, God, the trials come so they can see you more clearly. That you, God, are all that they need. That it's not a color thing. It's not a race thing. It's not an economics thing. It's a Jesus thing. Amen. That Jesus reigns and Jesus chastens his people so they can see him. That they'll say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That God, you'll get the glory today. That someone will say, I saw God today. Amen. He answered the question that I had. Bless now, God. Hide me behind the cross. That you can speak, God. For they're your people. They've been standing in the gap faithfully, God. They need a word from you. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, it is a very familiar text that we're going to turn to that I know that you know. And it is, but first of all, let me just say how honored I am to be here. That before I even became a pastor, you blessed me by letting me come here. And the love that I felt when I was here, I'll never forget, I told Reverend Johnson, I said, this is what heaven's going to look like. This is what heaven looks like. It's every nation, every tribe coming together for one reason alone. To worship the greatest man on earth.
Amen.
That's all it's about. And we come today again to do that. If you meet me in the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And my main verse is verse 16. But I'll read a little bit before it. Just to give you a good context. I'll start at verse 8. Romans chapter 1 starting at verse 8. First I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. For your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way to will God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged, that we may be encouraged together, that by the mutual faith, both you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I've often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you. Also, just as among the other Gentiles, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the first the Jew and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, It is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen. If I had to put a title to the text, it will just be simply this. I think I'll testify. I think I want to testify. In 1994, there was a major case that happened with O.J. Simpson and Johnny Cochran, in a case that we all know about. It was one of those cases that kind of made America see the justice system for its flaws, or the justice system for its complications. The biggest thing about the case was, Johnny Cochran used an analogy, if the glove doesn't fit, acquit. And that was the case. The problem with it was there were lots of people who wanted to testify, but they couldn't. In this room, there are lots of people, if we asked you, could we really test you to be a Christian, could you really testify? Could you testify that God is truly the Savior of your life? Would the glove fit, or would we have to acquit you? The book of Romans would be compared to a beautiful diamond necklace with a pendant. And the center of it, if the gospel is the jewelry, the necklace, the pendant would be Romans. There is nothing like the book of Romans. Romans is the centerpiece of the New Testament. Compared to no other book, it's Romans. So it is Romans that we find Paul. Paul's struggling to get to some people, to some Christians who he wants to impart to, but for some reason, things keep coming up in his life that have stopped him from being able to do that. Has anyone ever had that problem where you wanted to do something, but you just couldn't? I need one amen and I'm ready to move. Well, that's good. I'm in a good place to be. This is Paul. And what makes this kind of crazy is Paul's excited to talk to Christians. Now, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to Christians. It's Paul. Paul who's saying, I'm excited to see you and talk about this thing called faith, but it's Paul who was imprisoned in Philippi. It's Paul who was chased in Thessalonica. It's Paul who's smuggled out of Berea. It's Paul who was laughed out in Athens. It's Paul who, when the Corinthians heard the message, they thought it was foolishness. But it's still Paul again who wants to talk about. There's a rumor going around that on the outskirts of the Roman Empire that an illegitimate son to a carpenter was crucified and his name is Jesus and he's the Savior of the world. Can you imagine that? The center of power is Rome, but on the very outskirts of Rome, there's a rumor. And here comes this man named Paul again. Have you ever met a crazy Christian before? We got some in here. Wave your hand. I'm a crazy Christian. You won't stop. Why do you keep talking about this crazy man called Jesus? So here it is. This tent maker is coming to Rome, or he wants to come to Rome, and he wants to talk about, guess what? Jesus. And he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed. Can I give you a good point? You need to be crazy about God to talk about God sometimes. If you really knew where you came from and you knew your story and how people thought about you, you really wouldn't talk about anything. You wouldn't talk about Jesus because it's almost crazy. But guess what? You have to have crazy faith to be a Christian. You can say that again. You have to have crazy faith to be a Christian. You have to believe that God could save a wretch like me. Then he can save anybody. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. If this is you, say amen. Amen. You're not ashamed of the gospel. The word is epicino, which means to be ashamed, to be guilty, to be remorseful. I mean, and then the gospel is evangelion, which means it's, how do you say it? It's good news. It is something that you want to share. You're not ashamed of the gospel. But guess what? There are people, when you're not ashamed of the gospel, there's something that's attached to that. There must be a debt. You won't really share the gospel unless you have something invested in it. If you go back to the verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian. There's a debt owed. Put it like this. A man was asked a question. He said, he was being interviewed because he'd made some very successful moves in his life. He says, sir, tell me about your mother, your father, or the most important person in your life who made a difference to you. And he said, it was neither. Neither my mother nor my father. It was a woman who raised me named Sylvia. And Sylvia took me when my parents put me out. She raised me, she clothed me. So for most people, they have a father and a mother, but my parents want nothing to do with me. The only person I have is Aunt Sylvia. Psalms 27 says this, verse 10, when my father and my mother put me out, the Lord will take care of me. To know that there's a debt, that Christ took care of you when no one else would, you can talk about that then. You can say that, you know, when I was lost, Jesus found me. It is one of those crazy things that you go through, you can share the gospel, but to share the gospel and not be ashamed, you have to have courage. It was Maya Angelou who said the most important attribute of man is courage. If you do not have courage, you cannot do anything. Because without courage, everything else falters. But it was Jesus who also said in Mark 8:38 says, for whomever is ashamed of me in front of man, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. It's Paul who told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. He says, for I have not given you, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. And he says, do not be ashamed of me or the gospel. But guess what, church? We do have people who are ashamed of the gospel. We do have people who are ashamed of the gospel. And that's why you water down the gospel. That is why we preach prosperity. We preach wealth. That is why we preach love alone and everybody's going to go to heaven. That's why we preach happiness. All good things happen to you and God's never going to punish you. You're never going to get cancer. You're never going to be sick. All you need to do is call on Jesus and all your cares are going to be wiped away. That's why we say Jesus is political. Jesus is either Republican or Democrat. I don't really know right now. He's kind of, maybe he's liberal. Who knows? Or maybe Jesus is just a motivational speaker. High on entertainment, but low on scripture. But maybe it's neither. Maybe we aren't really preaching the gospel anymore. Maybe we're just telling people what they want to hear. But can I tell some Christian folks who are crazy about God? No matter all that said, Paul would say this to you. You are the answer to the problem in the world. And if you can say hallelujah to that, we can begin. You are the answer to the world's problem. Praise God for that. Say, you are the answer to the world's problem. Let me tell you why. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Somebody say, I believe. For it is to the Jew first and to the Greek that you believe. But before you believe, it is the power. And that word is called bethenemus. And what it really means is dynamite. That somewhere inside of you, there's dynamite. But it's not only dynamite, but it's deliverance. You see, God wants to give you power. Most of us come from bankrupt lives. If you didn't smoke, you drank, you cheated, you did something in your life that would make you realize that I need a savior. Because there are no perfect people, right? So if everyone had a bank broke life, then what we really needed then and we need now, we needed someone to help us with our lives. You see, we don't need God to give us a new car. You don't need God to give you to lose weight. God, give me. What you need is deliverance. That's what you need. Deliverance from people. So it doesn't hurt when people talk about you. Deliverance from your body. So when the doctor says you have cancer, you can say, I'll trust the Lord. Deliverance from bankruptcy. It says no matter what happens, God will take care of me. You see, God doesn't ever want to give you temporary things. God wants to give you eternal things. It's good that this organization had to go through a struggle to realize if it wanted to survive or not. Because guess what that means? God is with you. Without a struggle, you don't really know who God is. Without a struggle, you really don't know how much you love your wife until she says she wants to leave. You really don't know how much you love your car until you wreck it. You don't really know how much you love your children until something happens to them. Unless there is a struggle, you will never know what's at stake. And maybe this is the problem. Rome, like America, boasts of its power in itself. Nobody boasts about, make America great. How about let's make God great in America? Amen. Let's make God great in America. Let us boast that America is a country that stands on the word of God, that preaches and teaches and believes, and no matter what happens, we're with God. Amen. Then guess what happens? Everything we do, can God be defeated? This is a beautiful word. It was the philosopher Seneca who said that Rome was a cesspool of iniquity. America is exactly the same way. Paul was excited to come to Rome for one reason alone. You say you're a Christian and I'm saying you're a Christian, but if you don't believe like I believe, we got a problem. The problem was basically this. Paul was saying, you Romans haven't struggled like I struggled. You see, some of you only need the gospel for some things. You should need the gospel for everything. The gospel is needed when we have a problem in our education system. Guess what we need? Say it with me. You need the gospel. We have a problem with broken marriages. Guess what we need? We need the gospel. We have problems in our school system. What do we need? Okay, guess what? We have problems with people who are poor. What do they need? We have people who are rich. You got to help me out here. What do we need? We have gay people. What do they need? We have married people. What do they need? We have widows. What do they need? What do the educated people need? What? Oh my God, you are just getting these answers right. There is nothing under the sun. We all need the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can maintain you. And the gospel is basically this, that a holy God made us in his image, and guess what we did? We sinned against him. But guess what he did? He fashioned himself like man and came after us. And then what he did, he came to a Virgin Mary. And after he came to a Virgin Mary, he lived a sinless life. And after he did that, he satisfied the law. He was sacrificed in our place. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there 3 days, rose up on the third day, ascended into heaven, and mediates for us. Amen. That's the gospel. But guess what? You know where there's power in that? None of that is with you. You didn't do anything, did you? Who did? Oh, woman, I know you're saved. Oh, that God did it. Say it. God does it. God does it. If this is going to survive, guess who's going to make it survive? God. It is God's house. You are not running this. I am sorry. This is his. And God will not let his things die. What is wrong with you? God will send 1,000 people up in here just to make you realize. And you know what they'll say? God sent me. It is God. But you guess what you have to do? You have to believe to everyone who believes. And that is an exclusive message. See, you can know something, but you may not believe it. You have to believe. And that's the Great Commission. Once you believe, you're commissioned.
Amen.
But you first have to believe. And maybe this will help you. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of salvation, first to the Jew, and this will help you. Your faith is the key also to solving the world's issues. It says, for the righteousness of God that is revealed to man, it is written that the just shall live by faith. Mark 9:14, there was a situation where a man who had a son who was demon-possessed tried to come to 9 disciples. 9 disciples who didn't go to the mountain of transfigurations. 9 disciples, you can consider them to be disciples. Because the good disciples went to go see Elijah and Moses. You know the story, right? But this is what's interesting. The man, as soon as Jesus came, he asked what was going on. And they said, your disciples cannot cast out this demon. The Father says, can you do it? And Jesus asked one question. Do you believe? He cried and he says, I do believe, but help me with my belief. And that is when it goes to this. You cannot do anything unless you believe. Maybe that's why the gospel's not working right now. Most of us think you needed the gospel to get saved and that's it. Lord, I got it from here. No, my brothers and my sisters, You need the gospel for everything. How about this? You need the gospel to keep you saved. You need the gospel when you're living in a world where you feel like you're being talked about, put down. You need the gospel when your kids aren't acting right. You need the gospel even right now when your body doesn't act right. You need the keeping power of God that says, I'm going to make it because God is going to keep me. The gospel is God's promise that if you are mine, then I've got you. When you lose your temper, and I don't know you do. You don't lose your temper in here. But guess what you need? You just need to keep on seeking after God because that's the gospel. You never get to the point where you no longer need God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that every day my heart panteth after thee. That no matter what happens. See, you need the gospel for sanctification. You need the gospel for everything when the world is going crazy. But guess what we still all need? The gospel. We will never be in need of CNN or NBC or Fox. What we've always needed from the very beginning and what we need now is just one thing. That the God that brought us this far will not leave us. It was Isaiah who said, woe is me, for I'm a man undone, because I have unclean lips, for I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. And guess what that is, my brothers? The gospel. What would happen if a man or woman who proclaims that they know Christ would not only proclaim Christ here, but when they get in their house, they'll walk around the room and say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me, God. I thank you for saving my life, God. I thank you for all that you've done, God. I thank you, God. I know that, Lord, you delivered me when I was a wretch undone. God, I thank you for... Sometimes you got to preach to yourself. God, I thank you that people don't know the stuff that I did. They don't know the crack that I smoked, the drinks that I drank, the times I cheated on my wife, the times that I cheated. They don't know the things that you've hidden from the world. God, I thank you for being such a good God. And then, God, I just thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross, God. Thank you for coming to a Virgin Mary, God. Thank you for staying on the cross, God. Thank you. But even better than that, God, I believe that you died on the cross. God, I believe that you are there's only one way to salvation. God, I believe that somehow we will fall in love with the gospel. I just got a question. Who loves the Lord in here? If you could just stand up. If you could just stand up and say, I love the Lord. Because guess what? This is the gospel. You got to love the gospel. You got to love Jesus because guess what? He saw your needs when you didn't. If you could just say, I love the Lord. And I'm not ashamed. That I'm not ashamed. But that's the gospel. It's not going to change. The love of your life has got to be Christ.
Amen.
No one else can love you like this. See, you might fall in love with other gods. But there's only one God that loves you. You can be seated because guess what? What do you do to tell a people that you have everything you need? The situation of cancer. God, I trust you. Whatever happens. The situations with our country. God, we trust you. This isn't the first time we've had problems. But guess what we've got to do? We've got to hold on to his unchanging hand. God hasn't changed. We have. God hasn't changed. We have. We've lost our first love. Whenever you think that you can maintain something that belongs to him, you've lost your first love. When someone dies in your life that you love, you got to understand, I love them, but I love God more. God has got to be your first love.
Amen.
That is why Paul wanted to go to Rome. And every one of you have got to go to Rome.
Every one of you will be judged one day. Did you love him? Did you witness? Were you ashamed? Did you lose your first love? There was a storm in Dallas a couple of years ago, and it happened in midday. And what happened, what was interesting about the storm is that the storm came so quick that even the police cars, the vehicles, they tried to pull other people out, but they got stuck in too. And the only people who could help people was a Jeep club, because Jeeps are built differently. The Jeeps that they had were ready for the weather, snow weather. And guess what happened? The police officer tried to pull out a car, it got stuck. And you know, when you get stuck in snow, the harder you try to get out, the deeper you get in. So guess who pulled them out? A Jeep. 18-wheeler got stuck over the ridge. Guess who pulled them out? You never believe it. Three Wranglers pulled out a Jeep. If you think that's something, God pulled you out.
Amen.
He pulled you out. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever be ashamed. You see, we think we should preach the gospel only in church. The gospel should be preached at Walmart, Kmart, Safeway.
Amen.
There shouldn't be a place on earth that you, wherever you are, the gospel's there. That's my sermon for today.
True.
There is no, you are the hands and feet of Christ. Believe this is true. You are the only ones who can hurt God, because he loves you so much. He's done so much for you. Do you not see it? You are the only ones who can make God cry. Nature obeys him. The birds obey him. You are the only creature that can choose. So would you please stand? We open up the doors of the church.
Thank you.
Because everyone says they're saved, but somehow I got a funny feeling that you need to be saved. You need to fall in love with Christ and all that he's done. If everything else passes away, if you lose everything, you still have Christ. From dust you came, and from dust you shall go. The purpose for your life is to find the one eternal thing. And there's only one. It's Christ.
Yes.
So right now, we open up the doors of this church for that one purpose. You need to come. If you feel drawn to God, I don't know what I'm going to, I need to go pray. I need to come up and be prayed for, God. Because I want to make sure that when you call me home, because it is appointed every man a time to be born and a time to die.
Amen.
That we settle this issue. We open up the doors. Would you come? If there's something on your heart, say, God, I want to reestablish. I want to rekindle that relationship with you. That God, I want to make sure that in my heart and my mind that I can be like Paul and I'm not ashamed. If right now you were to die, would you be ready? And if that answer is no, just come on up. Let's pray about it. Well, amen. If you all have that settled, if it's settled, let us just come and pray about life and through your strength, through your church. And we'll give God praise. Amen. Let us pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just pray together. Come on up. We'll just make a circle. Let's pray. If you can make it up. If that is your assurance. I can't question it. Because guess what?
Nature calls. You know. When Jesus died, he died that none would perish. It is. No one was meant to be left behind. That wherever it is and however you do it, that we make peace with God. Say, God, I want to make sure that I'm right with you. Because nothing else matters. House, car, truth be told, the kids. Is that relationship with Christ? That's it. Nothing else matters. That's just it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the saints of God in this house of God called the wilderness. God, that even here, Lord, you're here. Bless this place. Bless the people here. That God, even though you're taking them through trials and tribulations, that they'll see you, God. That they can glorify you, magnify you, God. That they can say, God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that you saved a wretch like me. I'm not ashamed, God, that I'll share the gospel, Lord. That I'll be bold about it. Because when that day comes, you won't ask me where I worked at. You won't ask me how many kids I had. You'll ask me one question. Did you complete the commission to go ye therefore and share the gospel of a risen Savior born of a virgin that had power to save any and everyone? For there's nothing out of your will or way. Father, I pray right now for the saints here, God, that they will understand that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, that your blessings will abound on them, that they'll have strength to go through the trials and tribulations, because you have to go through. For if you're not being challenged, you are not a child of God. But that's the sign. For Jesus, you yourself said, in this world, you'll have troubles. So we pray right now. We pray right now for strength in this house, for the families represented in this circle, that they'll be able to stand in a time right now where the devil is running rampant, that they'll stand short-footed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that Jesus, whatever God wants to happen, will happen, and I am not going to stop praising the Lord, that I'm sold out. My mind is made up. It's finished now for me. Till the day that I die, I'll serve. And Father, they too will be ready to testify. For there will be a day in the seat of judgment they'll have to. Bless them now. Keep them now. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can help somebody or give somebody. You can do whatever you want to do.